The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene, how are you?
I'm good, and you? What's going on? Are you out uitgezoomd already?
No, we're saying how absolutely marvelous it is, actually. We're saying how facilitating communication in these weird and wacky times. But I'm so glad to have you on the line, because lots of interesting stuff is going on in your part of the world.
It has been a very interesting day. Let's start, as we do every day, with COVID-19, and it is getting a bit concerning, at least over the last 24 hours. We've had a spike of 300 infections. I know that for some people, it seems like a lower number than, you know, other countries around the world. But for Israel, it is a number that we're very, very concerned about. 300 infections over the last 24 hours. We've also seen 18 infections in the West Bank as well. So let's look at the stats before we look at some of the other issues. Since the start of the global pandemic, 19,637 people have been diagnosed with coronavirus, 303 fatalities in Israel, and the other very important stat, 3,875 people currently infected, 37 seriously, 27 needing ventilators, and 15,459 have made recoveries. Now, earlier today, the Knesset voted to extend the emergency regulations that allow the government to impose more restrictions, and just a couple of hours ago, they declared areas such as Ararat, Rahat, and parts of Jaffa to be what we are now calling red zones, which are areas of high infections. Also concerning is the little bit of a loggerhead brewing between the finance minister, Israel Katz, and the health minister, Yuli Edelstein. The finance minister wants the cultural world, theatres, etc., opened up, and the trains to resume services, while Yuli Edelstein says not while the numbers are rising. Let's, you know, keep these under control. And just moments ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu met with various people from the arts and culture world who are saying that, you know, they actually cannot continue the way they are with the ongoing closures of venues to try and keep the pandemic at bay. But unfortunately, this is the situation that is not just unique to Israel. We are hearing more and more from artists around the world, actors, actresses, performers, who say, you know, that it's unsustainable to carry on like this. So hopefully we will see these numbers coming down, and, you know, we can resume lifting restrictions. Yesterday, of course, we spoke about the fact that Israel from the 1st of August will open the skies to, so far, Greece and Cyprus. We'll see other countries as we progress, but this is where we are holding at the moment.
Really, let's address the relationship between the UAE and Israel. And does the talk of annexation not cast a huge shadow after very positive developments in that regard?
Well, an extraordinary development over the last 24 hours. And that is, in an interview given to the AJC, the UAE, that's the United Arab Emirates, their Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, that's probably a very schmancy way of saying foreign minister. His name is Anwar Gargash. He said that, you know, we need to come to a point where we can separate the political disagreements or issues that we have as far as annexation and the Palestinians from the mutual or potentially mutually beneficial relationship that we could have with the state of Israel. Now, what is very interesting is that this is a philosophy that several African countries have adopted. Some of them saying, don't make us choose sides between Palestinians and Israelis. Let's, you know, why shouldn't it be the case that we can have good relations with both? Which does seem logical, especially given the challenges that we are facing as a global community with coronavirus. And he also went on to say that the Arab boycott has not yielded the desired results that the Arab world was hoping for, and that now we need to open the lines of communication. We need to increase liaisons with Jerusalem in such areas as technology and health. And health is a big one. As we face the challenges with coronavirus, one of the issues that was spoken about just in recent weeks, where the Arab world, or at least Gulf states, and Israel have decided to cooperate, was to cooperate in the search for a vaccine, but also several Gulf countries, including the UAE and Bahrain, and one that still prefers to remain anonymous, said that they would be very, very happy to cooperate with Sheba Medical Center, which is one of the top-rated hospitals in the world as far as diagnostics, etc., with coronavirus are concerned. So it really, really is an amazing development. Of course, just in the last few weeks, the Etihad flights coming first incognito as a plane without any signage. And last week, very, very proudly coming in as Etihad. And as I said to you last week, quite emotional to hear the recording of that communications between Israel's control center at Ben Gurion Airport and the pilot saying, you know, welcome to Israel. You are clear for landing. So really, really important. But I think that these words from the foreign minister of Dubai have said that have signaled perhaps a huge change in the Arab world. And I'm going to quote him directly. He says, "Can I have a political disagreement with Israel, but at the same time try and bridge other areas of the relationship? I think I can. I think that is fundamentally where we are." And he says, "Egypt, Jordan, and Turkey already have formal relations with Israel, and Qatar and other Gulf states led the way on having more normal relations with Israel." So also a little secret that he seemed to divulge there, but certainly very, very positive news, not just for Israel, but also for the region, because we also have to look at how this fits into regional politics.
We don't have all that much time, Rolene, but let's talk Chelsea Handler and Louis Farrakhan.
Oy vey, I tell you, the collective blood pressure around the world just went up. But basically, in a nutshell, comedian Chelsea Handler decided to share a speech from Louis Farrakhan. He's the Nation of Islam leader, but he's also renowned for being an arch anti-Semite, having referred to us as termites. And he's also known to be a misogynist and anti the LGBTQ community. But she posted a video of his. Of course, this led to an outcry, including on Twitter, where some of us, including myself, decided to take her on and say, you know, you cannot fight racism by propagating hatred. Her defense was, well, you have to understand, you compare him to Hitler, but Hitler killed millions of people while he is just defending his anti-Semitism. So in a nutshell, because we only have a few seconds remaining, she has taken the brunt of many a social justice movement, including the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and has now had to pull that off her Instagram page. But just a message to people out there, be very, very cognizant of whose messages you are sharing.
And what you said yesterday, Rolene, you can't fight hate with anti-Semitism. It just doesn't work. But yeah, thank you for that.
I've said it again. I'll keep saying it until it sinks in. We cannot fight hatred by propagating more hatred. And that's where I love and leave you for the day. But definitely love you guys.